everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are here today to talk about a bunch of non-Hallmark movies. It's pretty exciting. It's one of our non-Hallmark recaps for Christmas. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and Amy is here.
Hello, guys.
Yes. So how have you been doing?
Good. I had a rough night last night. this is our episode of the podcast reviews where we're a little tired.
Yeah. I mean, we were both doing different things because we live in different states, but we somehow managed to both have exciting Friday nights, I guess.
Yeah. I played Yahtzee all night with my friend and ate candy. So.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a little one. I call it a frosty run. Like, everything's going right. All right, let's go. So we go and get a frosty.
Yeah.
Wendy's. So, yeah, it's just been a busy time for me because we had Frozen 2 come out this week, which was obviously, since I cover animation on my channel, my other channel, in podcasts, that's a big thing. Plus I got to see the big Martin Scorsese film, The Irishman, over 3 hours long.
So oh my goodness. Is it The Lord of the Rings?
Not to me. So that's always fun. And it's plus all the Hallmark and stuff. And we have been producing a ton of content. Mm-hmm. And Thanksgiving week, which is when this will air, we will have, I think, almost every day have two episodes, a recap and an interview, which is pretty intense. But
So
I hope y'all enjoy it. And we certainly enjoyed making it. But yeah, today we're talking about... was it five movies?
Six. Getting crazy here.
Yeah, and we will have another off network episode this week because so much is happening. Yes, so we're talking Hallmark like movies.
Yeah.
Okay. And we hope everybody enjoyed our episode with Jennifer Chandler on the Netflix and Disney Plus. We had a lot of fun. It wasn't the best audio in the world situations, but hopefully people still enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And today we're talking about Up, Lifetime, Own, and a one on streaming. So it's a pretty fun group. There's Christmas movies for everybody.
Oh yeah. All right. So let's start out with Up. We had our Up movie from last week, Christmas Cupcakes. When their family bakery may have to close its doors right before Christmas, rival sisters Kim and Gina must team up to win a national baking competition, save the family business, and perhaps even discover a bigger prize than they hoped. And this is, of course, starring Sydney Busby, Aaron Karpluck, and Corey Luranger. And I believe this was an acquisition by... Up, because its IMDb said it was released last December. So,
Okay, yeah. Well, so this movie, I just watched it this morning, but I missed, like, I was only able to get about half an hour in, and then I just fast forward to the end, watched the ending because it wasn't interesting to me. I didn't enjoy it. But also, I was just running out of time.
You didn't miss much, Rachel. Yeah. You honestly didn't. It was pretty bad. Yeah. And I hate to say that because I love Sydney Busby, but it was pretty bad.
I mean, so what I saw, I agree. I just felt like the script had a lot of problems, especially... Anytime that it was trying to be funny, it just did not work.
Mm-mm, it was not. I was like they're trying to be funny, like, oh, he's living in the kitchen. And I'm like, that's not funny.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's a good example.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's really not funny to me. And like, they could have done it in a way to make it funny, but it wasn't. It just was kind of like, you're making fun of your uncle and this is sad. I don't know.
Yeah, no, exactly. I agree. And like his, the boyfriend's boss was supposed to be all sort of funny and catty and everything, but it just came off as kind of mean and annoying. and even like even that weird like she's supposed to be like a Russian lady or something like that, like that didn't work when she's all saying your bread is disgusting or whatever and what and the whole conflict didn't really make
it didn't make
sense.
Yeah,
like they kept finding more money that they owed. Then they were going to supposedly get it all resolved from the baking competition, but it was like it was going to foreclose before they would even get the money from the baking competition.
Exactly. And also, the baking competition got brought into it so late in the game, I was like, wait, what?
Right.
I thought for most of the movie that they were just it was just going to go under. There was no choice.
Well, yeah, it was like it was going to go under, but then they still seemed like irrationally concerned with like making everyday sales and making like if you owe $300,000 to the bank, like you need to be not worrying about how your cupcakes are, the cupcakes of your competitor. Like you, you have to be thinking on a higher level at that point.
Also, those cupcakes looked ridiculous from the competitor.
Right.
I was like, what is that? It looked like a scallop.
Yeah.
I was like, that doesn't even look appetizing as a sweet thing. That's something you get from a fish restaurant.
Right. But, like, at most, it kind of looked like some kind of truffle or something. Like, it didn't look like a cupcake at all. If anything, I felt like the movie should have been called Egg Bread Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seemed more than cupcakes. It seemed like it was more about the egg bread to me. And I mean, and also the fact that they were able to pick up on those recipes so quickly, that's hard. Making bread is very, very difficult. And so that seemed a little far-fetched. And
yeah.
Like, and none of that would have mattered if it had been, it was just the humor to me was the big turnoff. It just did not work for me.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything you said. It was just weird. It was weird. And I feel bad because I made my mom watch it. And, you know, out of all the things this Christmas that I've seen that she probably should have watched, that probably was not it.
Yeah, so. You're like, mistakes were made. Sorry, Mom.
Oops.
I had my parents came over and they watched a Picture of Perfect Christmas. And that one was at least decent, I think. It could have been worse.
Yep. All right, so Christmas cupcakes, what are you gonna give it?
Barring I did not necessarily see it all, I'm gonna give it 1.5 stars.
That's also what I gave it, and I did see the whole thing and it was painful, so you're lucky you only saw part of it.
Yeah, and the whole thing, their uncle, it just, I don't know, just every part of this movie just was very cringy to
me. It made me very I was just like, no.
Also, can we, I wish we could let Sidney Busby's folks know, don't have a temper tantrum in every movie. It's just not working. I love her, but that is just, it's just not working. And especially when it just comes out of nowhere that all of a sudden she's like, I'm not going to bake anymore. I'm not appreciated. I'm like, what?
Girl, calm down.
Yeah. And she, yet she had this whole other job. Like that was awkward too.
Mm-hmm.
That lady that she was working for. I was like, who in the world is like, not letting her, don't let that happen again. The untimely death of my father. Like what?
Yeah, I know. Awful.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Like, that is just like a PR, or not a PR, like an HR nightmare right there.
I know. Like, and I mean, come on.
That's, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, something like that only works if it's super funny, and it wasn't.
It wasn't funny.
So, yeah, too bad about Christmas cupcakes.
Oh, all right, so let's move on over to Lifetime, who, I mean, still is not, they're not doing it for me still. This was better. I have to say, what do you think? Do you think these three were better than previous?
Well, I've liked some of theirs better than you. Mm-hmm. Two of them I actually quite liked a lot.
Yeah, me too.
One of them I didn't really like.
Yeah. So the first one we have is Christmas a la mode, starring Katie Lurk, Ryan Cooper, and Caroline Keeler. Mm-hmm. And it's a woman needs a miracle in order to save her family farm and her father's legacy in time for a happy Christmas. IMDb is really slacking this year because all of these Christmas movies have one or two sentence descriptions, which is frustrating.
Well, I mean, they're not the most plot-heavy movies, but still.
That's true. I'm like, you could at least give it a paragraph. Like, come on. All right, what'd you think of this one?
Well, there were things I liked about this movie. I actually liked the whole message of her kind of thinking about her dad and looking up at the stars and kind of that whole thing I thought was cute. And then just some of the baking and some of the other stuff was fun enough. But I really did not warm up to her character. I just thought that she was kind of grating and ungrateful for all the help that she was getting. And I really disliked the way they portrayed her sister. I thought it's like usually the bad people business aren't your family, and that felt awkward to me. And I don't know. And especially when, like, at the last minute when they just barely saved the farm. She's like, oh, well, you know, they get along all of a sudden at the end. That felt awkward to me. I didn't really like that. And I don't know. I wasn't super high on this one, to be honest. I didn't bond with her as a character. Mm-hmm. And the story, and also even when I read the description, I was like, I feel like apple pie ice cream is like, not
already a thing.
Like, there was this place by my house that you go and they have like blue cheese ice cream and like really disgusting stuff. And I feel like those kind of weird hipster combinations, like, that's just so old school. It's not, mm-hmm. I don't know, an apple pie ice cream, like, I don't even feel like that's weird at all. And to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, we are so delighted to be working with Glamour Jewelry Box, which is a really great thing, especially for this time of the year when you're trying to finish off that ensemble that you have for the holiday parties, other things going on. You want that perfect accessory to go with your outfit. You get every month a necklace, a set of earrings, and a bracelet. And they try to be on trend, but not too weird. Cammie, you got to see this jewelry. What did you think?
I thought it was gorgeous. It was just the right touch of classy, but different. I especially loved the bracelet because it had this kind of twisted, interconnected quality. And so I can't wait to wear it. This is gonna, it's my first little bit of Hallmarkies merch that I'm getting as an official podcast member. Yeah. So I'm excited, and it's going to be, I can't wait. Yeah. It's going to be great.
It's really cool. And you get $5 off on your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and enter Hallmarkies at checkout, and you can get your first box.
So good. Like, maybe it was the apple pie that just made it so amazing, because it was the type of apple pie.
Especially because these are like mass produced, you know, pies. And so I'm thinking, would they really be that good? I mean, I guess the ones that he was making were, and there was some kind of secret family recipe. So
I don't know.
But I don't know. It just didn't seem special enough to me. Mm-hmm. For it to be the whole sort of, to be the thing that saved the farm, it didn't seem special enough. But I don't know. It's a harmless movie, but my main problem was with her. I just thought that she was kind of rude.
On the other hand, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed her character. I've never seen her in anything except Switched at Birth. So I've never seen her act as a hearing person before. And I think she did a really, like, I don't know if, I've never seen her act in anything else besides this and Switched at Birth. So I don't know how her acting is outside of that, but I really enjoyed it. I think she did a really good job. And I liked the dynamic between her and the pie guy. I can't remember his name. The pie guy. That's what I'm going to call him. Yeah. Her and the pie guy, I think they had really, really good chemistry, and it was really cute. And I'm all for Christmas ice cream. That's like kind of a thing I really love. And so I really enjoyed it. But I do agree, the thing with the sister at the end, I feel like that was like kind of a debilitating argument. Like, I feel like that argument would have been the argument that would have broken up that family. I feel like how quickly that was resolved was not, I mean, it wasn't realistic, and I wish they would have done something else to like redeem the sister a little bit, or at least have them have a conversation about it.
She really needed to be somebody else, like somebody not in the family. It was too awkward.
Or someone that wasn't as close in the family, like a cousin, or like not her sister. Like, that's just too much, I feel like.
Well, and I think it was Julie Sherman Wolf, I think, I might be getting my people confused. I've done so many interviews recently, but that she was saying that one of the notes she got back from Hallmark was, or might be Elise Murray, I can't remember, but anyway, they're saying that that Hallmark heroines never break the law. Mm-hmm. It can't be, and I kind of feel that way about even family members. Like, they can't be like that, like she was. It just felt awkward, and I don't know, it didn't work for me. And I don't know why. I was just turned off by her. I felt like this lead character, I felt like she was ungrateful for all the help that she was getting, and just kind of too rude. You know, that she needed to be, I get it. She really wants to save her farm, and I get it that that's important to her with her father and everything, but I don't know. She had kind of a grudge to me that turned me off. So and it wasn't my favorite. And also, no Winter Storm Megan. I was a little disappointed. It's the only one,
because this one was the only one that's been an acquisition so far.
Very disappointing. I'd give it a 2 for me.
I gave it a 3.5 just because I actually could sit through this one. And some of the others, I was like, please, please let me turn this off.
That's a low bar for a 3.5.
Well, and also I thought it was cute, and yeah, I like yeah. ice cream. Okay.
I'm just teasing. That's funny. I know a lot of other people seem to have liked it more than I did, but
yeah, me too. But I don't think it's like fantastic. I might watch it again if it happens to be on, and for some reason I choose to watch Lifetime instead of something else.
there you go.
All right. Our next one is Christmas in Louisiana. We have to be nice about this one. when a woman returns home to celebrate the anniversary of the town's sugarcane Christmas festival, she rediscovers the magic of the season. And this stars Jana Kramer, Percy Daggs III, and Maura Kelly. And of course, it is written by the one, the only, Elise Murray.
Yes.
And her friend, I'm assuming, Emily Moss Wilson. I don't know who that is, but I'm sure she's fantastic.
Yeah. So this movie, I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I think it got a lot of points by a couple different things for me that made it work. First, I really loved the cast. I thought her whole family, I could have just spent time with her family. I really, I love Maura Kelly. I thought that that her little romance with the photographer guy was really cute. I enjoyed that. I really loved the Barry Bostwick and Dee Wallace little romance, their marriage and everything was really cute. And I liked their personalities. I liked that they were kind of pushing her to Jana Kramer's character to have a, you know, relationship and everything and kind of push her into that, but not like too much. They were just sort of sweet about it and wanted her to be happy. And also another big plus to me in this movie was just it being in a different setting in Louisiana. And I loved the boat parade at the end. I thought it was something new. And I liked their relationship. I mean, the whole idea of sort of them being Mr. and Mrs. Christmas and there being this sort of tradition in the town of crowning Mr. and Mrs. Christmas each year was cute to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought that there were some nice scenes, like when he gets the world's best Chinese takeout and they have their debate in the
construction zone.
Yeah, the construction zone was cute, and I gotta love a last minute trip to the airport kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. It was fun, and there's some nice diversity, which is always a little bit of a plus, and so I enjoyed it. I thought it was cute.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this so much. I thought it was so cute. There was a lot of elements in it that I feel like are things we don't see often. So like it was the love story of the daughter, but also of the mother. We had the grandparents involved, and they were like, they weren't just there as like a background part. They were really like, it was really an ensemble story, which I really enjoyed. And I felt like it was something new. It was something different. And they were in Louisiana and they still somehow worked in that winter storm. So
That's right. Well, and I think that Barry Bostwick, can we declare him the King of Christmas
this year? Yeah. He's been in Netflix movie. He's been in this. And then he was in a Hallmark one recently, wasn't he?
Yes. He was in, what's it called?
The Miracle one, right?
Miracles are the one with the one I hated. Christmas Miracle.
I haven't seen all of it yet.
He was the best part of it by far. But I think he's the King of Christmas.
I'm looking on his IMDb. He was in Christmas Miracle, Christmas in Louisiana. There's no other Christmas 2019, it looks like. And then Santa Girl, but that's not on IMDb for some reason.
So good job, Barry. Way to go.
Good job. I feel like he should play Santa more. He's awesome. So this was a win for me. I want this one on DVD. I really enjoyed it. My mom really liked it too. And this one is giving me, it restored my hope in Lifetime.
Okay, good. Well, for the most part, all of the characters made sense. I think that if you had been broken up when your in that public way when you're, you know, young and so impressionable and everything, that you would be pretty, it would be pretty hard to kind of let that go.
Yeah, that's like a traumatizing childhood event.
Yeah.
It's like you're always going to remember that. That's like the thing that you tell your kids someday and go, when they're having problem with boys for the first time or whatever, you tell her, your daughter, well, just remember, I got broken up with on stage. Yeah. Like, your problems aren't that bad. Like, it could be worse.
Right. Well, she kind of did say that to that other, Miss Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Which that girl took everything she said way out of context. I just thought that was hilarious, though, because, like, I don't know, that's so realistic. Like, she would, like, someone who's that age wouldn't think what she was saying, wouldn't think about it in the same way. And I thought it was really funny. Really realistic.
My favorite from Lifetime is still The Road Home for Christmas, but this is my second favorite. It was really cute. So way to go.
Woohoo! Okay, I want to know.
Everybody knows if we didn't like it, we'd be real about it. It's not just because
we're
our friend. So
yeah. I want to know though, Elise, did they give you a note that said you have to include this storm, or did you put it in by yourself by accident? Or like, did they put it in afterwards? Did you not even know about it? Like, I want to know the conspiracy behind this winter storm.
Winter storm, Megan. That's a good point. I'm sure it was required in some way. She didn't just think of it randomly.
Did they say you have to write this movie, also this, you have to include this line? Like, I want to know.
Right.
I don't know how writing things work, obviously.
Well, and you know, I think Jana Kramer, I think that she is somebody that maybe is sort of, I kind of feel like her and Becca Tobin are like these secret hall stars, you know. It's like their movies are always pretty fun and enjoyable, but she kind of gets, I don't know, she doesn't get the plays like some other ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And because I thought that Christmas in Mississippi a couple years ago was pretty underrated. She's in that, and Wes Brown was in that, and Faith Ford, who I love, was in that. So I really liked that one, and she's in Love at First Bark, which was pretty cute, I think, with Kevin McGarry and her. So keep going. Keep going.
All right. So I gave it a 4. What would you rank it, Rachel?
I think I'll do the same. I think we'll give it a 4. To talk about our second sponsor of this episode of the podcast, they are the good folks over at Skylight Frame, and it's a really cool thing that they do. We've seen lots of digital frames before, but this is a unique one where you can actually have people email you photos directly to the frame. So you could be sitting there watching your pictures go by, and boom, surprise picture from somebody in your family, which I think is such a fun new idea. And you don't even need any kind of USB port or anything like that to add photos. It can be done all digitally from your phone, from your computer, all that stuff, which is really cool. And you think of how many pictures that we take on our, you know, Instagram and everything, and those can just be uploaded immediately to the frame. I think it looks really nice. A 10-inch touchscreen. It has a black frame, white mat. It just will go with anything in your house, and it'd just be really novel and sweet. So if you're looking for a great gift for somebody in your family, this is something that they, I think, will really enjoy. And right now, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame. You go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark, and so $10 off. That's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, and enter code Hallmark, not Hallmarkies.
Alrighty, so next we're moving on to Random Acts of Christmas, starring Aaron Cahill, Kevin McGarry, and Jaden Orr. And inspired by a story idea following random acts of kindness at Christmas, a journalist reconnects with an old flame in her hometown. Mm-hmm. So what did you think?
So this was a mixed bag for me. I thought that the premise was cute enough. I liked Kevin McGarry and Aaron Cahill a lot in the movie. I thought that there were just all their little interactions were pretty cute. It was almost like a bunch of little dates with each of the Secret Santa things. I thought that it's, I mean, I knew that going into it, okay, there's going to be the whole Lyra reveal moment, and that always makes me kind of groan. But it was handled okay, I think. And I don't know. It was, I mean, I kind of went into it with a little bit low expectations, even though I love Aaron. And so I thought it was pretty enjoyable. But you know, and you've got, and I do love Kevin McGarry as like, I thought he was extremely handsome as sort of basically playing Batman kind of in this thing. Like he's, like,
yeah,
he's got this like secret rich man. And when he's in his like super, I don't know, just like his, I thought that he just looked really handsome in this movie.
I know, right? Like yeah. That.
Like, that, he's the handsome as the cowboy type or in his suit for What Calls the Heart, but I don't know, in this movie he was very dreamy.
That's the only reason I finished this movie, to be honest. This was gonna be my like tap out one where I was like, I can't finish this. I literally did not get into it at all. But Kevin and Aaron, I have to say, the only thing that I enjoyed about it is I think they have good chemistry. But other than that, the story bored me to death. None of it like registered in my brain throughout this movie. Like it took me like I was almost an hour into the movie when I finally realized the characters' names were Cole and Sydney. Like I feel like I didn't even hear the characters' names before that. And then, like, the only thing that kept me going was their chemistry. And then I was honestly just speaking to completionists just so I could see if they mentioned Winter Storm Megan. That was, like, the rest of it, I was like, eh. And then Patrick Duffy did a good job, too.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mind the story personally. I thought it was cute enough. But I can see how it wouldn't be for everybody. Yeah, I mean, it was okay for me. It was one of those ones that was just fine. Yeah, I think they were really cute, and I think that, like I said, Kevin McGarry, so handsome in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know what they did to him in this movie, but...
I mean, he's always pretty handsome, but yeah. It made me realize, I'm like, I like executive Kevin McGarry.
Yeah.
A lot. More than cowboy Kevin. But yeah, I would give this one, for me personally, I'd give it like 3.25.
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
Not my favorite. Alrighty. So now we have two more movies that I did not see. I do not have the OWN network, so yeah, unfortunately. But yeah.
Oprah, you need to get with it down there in Southern California.
I don't think it's Oprah. I think it's that DirecTV just has weird package options.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
So this is the Oprah Network, their first foray into Christmas movies with One Fine Christmas. And so basically this movie is about this community, and there are a whole bunch of different storylines of different people. They have about, I don't know, about 4 or 5 different storylines going on, and they're all kind of barely connected, kind of your typical Christmas movie idea with that. And it stars it has Rick Fox as the main star, but he's hardly in the movie at all. Actually, his daughter Sasha Fox is in it, and then it has Vanessa Williams, but not Vanessa Williams that we know, the singer and slash actress slash mother of Sasha Fox. No,
it's different Vanessa Williams.
Different Vanessa Williams, yeah. Who had I had heard of, but I had forgotten. I knew there was a different Vanessa Williams. But
is she from Ugly Betty, or is she from...
No, that's the Ugly Betty one is the one who was married to Rick Fox.
Oh.
No, this is different, a different woman entirely. But anyway, and she plays kind of a, I don't know, a workaholic woman who's the mother of Sasha Fox. And she like doesn't even know how to bake, doesn't know how to cook, can't do anything for herself, like has literally never used her kitchen except for the coffee maker. And and she's in some kind of dispute with her mother, and she kind of kicked her mother out. Her mom lives, mother lives in an like assisted living place now. And then you have another woman who works at the assisted living, volunteers, but she hasn't told her husband because her husband is kind of obsessed with work. But then her husband ends up getting fired, and he's by this like super uppity, uppity young bad man of business. The Vanessa Williams character, to get the deal with the Fox character, promises that she's going to have this big, she's having this big party. She tells this lie. She's having this big party, but she does it with a big, like, old-fashioned meal. And, of course, because she doesn't even think that he is, she thinks he's going to leave. He's like, oh, I'd like to come to that. So she's freaking out. And anyway, and then there's another story about a couple whose only son comes home, surprise, I'm married, and he's married to this Japanese woman. So they're kind of struggling with that, all that. And there's another woman who is kind of grieving because her husband and son both died in an accident. So she's really sad. And so all the different stories. And it was a little frustrating because I think it had a lot of potential, but unfortunately I felt like the acting wasn't strong enough, and I felt like the writing wasn't strong enough. Because if you're gonna do sort of a day in the life kind of a story without like a strong plot, because a lot of things are happening but there's not really a narrative, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then you have to have more interesting characters than this, and you have to have better writing. Yeah. Otherwise, it just falls flat, and so much of this did fall flat for me. And so I felt like it was like, 60% there, but then that 40% was frustrating, you know, because I don't know what's worse, to watch something that is just terrible or watch something that's got so much potential but then doesn't succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, it's so frustrating. And so I admired a lot of things about it, but it didn't end up working for me. Mm-hmm. As a whole, as a movie. But I think it's actually kind of a decent start. and so hopefully they'll keep improving and making more movies. Mm-hmm. But I give it a 2.5, right down the middle.
Alrighty.
So that's one fine Christmas. And then we have Christmas on the Range. And so this movie, it stars Aaron Cahill and Nicholas Gonzalez and Lindsay Wagner. And so this movie is fun if you like really soapy melodramatic movies. I mean, it goes for it. There's like all kinds of conniving and underhandedness and trying to take someone's farm from it underneath them and swindle it. And like, there's multiple scenes where people are having fist fights. And there's actually a really good scene where Aaron Cahill gets a really good fist to the nose of one of the characters. And that was fun. And if you like that kind of thing of like, unrequited love and divorce and I don't know, just stuff like that, if you think that's fun, that kind of melodrama, then you'll actually really enjoy this. And I do think that's fun, so I actually enjoyed it. It's not the most Christmassy movie in the world, but I would give it a 3.5.
Okay,
so There you go. That's thanks for that. So yeah, there we did. We did it.
Woo!
So I think we both agree that Christmas in Louisiana, best of the bunch.
That was a winner.
All right. Good. Okay. Well, let us know if you're listening what you thought if you got to see any of these films. The Christmas on the Range, by the way, is available on Ed Voodoo exclusively. You can rent it and watch it there, or you can purchase it on Blu-ray digital with a digital code. So if you're interested in that, check it out.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, very good. Well, we'll be back again with more non-Hallmark content, because it's just you can get I'll get caught up for like
2 seconds,
30 seconds, yeah,
yeah.
And then oh, there's more. I didn't know that Night Before Christmas was coming out last. Yeah,
I thought it was coming out next week.
I know. So I'm like, oh no. But anyway, we will be back. So let us know if you got to see any of these, what you thought, if you liked them, not liked them. That would be fun to talk about. And so, Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at It's Amy Craig.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and everywhere else, and Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And you can follow the podcast, The Hallmark Kids Pod, and The Hallmark Kids Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, and YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We would sure appreciate it. So thanks so much, Amy. It's always so much fun.
Yay, we did it. Okay. Bye, guys.